This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of January 9th, 2022. Happy New Year. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 220. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support The Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest, the Is It Just Me commentary, I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker, and the big deal feature, former Surrey Mayor Bob Bowes is my guest. What next in the circus that is Surrey politics under Mayor Doug McCallum?
But first, is it just me?
Is it just me, or does the BC Liberal leadership contest look like the previous two? There are allegations that the frontrunner is cheating. I was first to report that managers of five campaigns are calling for an audit because up to 50% of new memberships could be fraudulent. This could derail the hopes of perceived frontrunner Kevin Falcon. It could also cause further harm to the BC Liberal Party, the party whose brand is already tarnished by corruption while in office from 2001 to 2017. One of the contestants, Gavin Dew, made the most sensible policy proposal way back in May 2021. He wants a public inquiry into the NDP government's handling of the pandemic as soon as it is reasonable to do so. I say it's reasonable to begin the process now. Too many people have suffered and died a preventable death. Where has all the money gone? Dr. Bonnie Henry and Minister Adrian Dix are losing credibility with every day that goes by. BC should have been better positioned than anyone else. After dress rehearsals like SARS and H1N1, heck, a pandemic was even one of the risks planned for in the $1 billion Olympic security plan for 2010. The focus must be on defeating the pandemic, but it's not too early to open an office to protect the documents from disappearance or destruction. British Columbians don't want to go through this ever again. They also want their public officials to be held accountable.
What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news.
This is the big deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. This is the big deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. Surrey is British Columbia's second biggest city by population. By geography, you could fit Vancouver, Burnaby, and Richmond all inside Surrey. It's urban, it's rural, it's multicultural, there's rivers and ocean, there's the U.S. border. You've got a lot of things happening in Surrey, sometimes a little bit too much happening in Surrey. What has set it apart since 2018, however, is political dysfunction. The word corruption is even part of the discourse. It's a municipal election year in 2022, and all eyes are on Mayor Doug McCallum and his Safe Surrey Coalition, which holds a very slim one-seat majority on council. My guest on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast is former Surrey Mayor Bob Bowes. He was mayor of Surrey from 1988 to 1996. In one word, how would you describe Doug McCallum's 3 years in power since 2018?
He's simply unfit to hold public office, and in particular, to carry out the functions of the mayor's office. McCallum began with a campaign that was based on several rather simple slogans. One was to get rid of the RCMP. The second was to scrap the light rail project, which was actually had gone advanced to the point where they were going to call for procurement. And so it was well on the way. They struck that down without much discussion at all. It was back of the envelope campaign promise, and that's the way what he went with. And he hasn't articulated any of those issues in a way that brings meaningful discussion. As you are aware, that at the first meeting of the new council, At their inaugural meeting, they passed resolutions to do both of those things, scrap the RCMP, serve notice to sever the contract, and to bring it into the light rail project. On the policing issue, they had no background. There had been no community engagement, no development of a rationale for doing what they were doing, and they certainly had no idea of where this was going to lead financially. On the SkyTrain project, that's really not an issue where that Surrey Council is greatly involved in. It's a TransLink issue, and so Council made that decision, and that was about the last that the last of their considerations of it. The other problem that we see is that McCallum came in with 8 members on board of the Safe Surrey Coalition. And as a result of the failure to really consider seriously the transition to a city police force, which I think most people would have expected some serious review, some serious engagement of the community, serious understanding of the reasons for doing it. There was none of that. And Stephen Pettigrew and Jack Hundahl and Brenda Locke had expected there'd be a reasonable process, and it didn't happen. And they cut their ties to the Safe Surrey Coalition. Now, there was a fourth member of council, Linda Annis, who was elected under the Surrey First banner. And so we now have a situation with 4 members of council in opposition, as it were, to 4 council members who slavishly support the mayor regardless of what the issue is. There is no discussion, there's no recognition by the mayor of the dissidents' arguments, points of view, shows little interest in that, shows little patience with the community that may express differing opinions on these matters, and he runs the council in a just totally autocratic, disrespectful, abusive way.
I asked former Surrey Mayor Bob Bowes how Mayor Doug McCallum of today differs from the Doug McCallum who was mayor during 1996 to 2005.
I don't think what he's doing in this term at all mirrors his conduct in office. I think first of all, he didn't have, he was elected as an individual without a party and without a caucus. And so I think that he didn't have it. He couldn't wield the sword that he has wielded with this council. The problems are numerous, and I think people expect some reasonable dialogue. They expect some reasonable thought being applied to issues, and they're not seeing it. It's just the mayor's way, and the compliant 4 members nodding their heads without ever taking an independent position. There's nobody acting independently on McCallum's slate. It's just simply the mayor's way or the highway. And making things a lot worse, the fact that apart from Brenda Locke, who has experience at the provincial level, the other members of council had had no previous electoral experience. And so the environment that McCallum creates is dictatorial.
In 2020, the Breaker.News was first to report about Mayor Doug McCallum's romance with Councillor Allison Patton.
An important person in his caucus is also continuing a personal relationship with him as mayor. And the taxpayers of Surrey were really owed an explanation about what really is going on there, because, of course, the question is, are their loyalties divided?
Whether a member of council is married to another member of council or to the mayor is not so critical. That's happened in other cases. But when the mayor conducts himself the way he does, then that just makes the division more poisonous. And he's not been transparent about it. I don't know. I have no personal knowledge of what you're saying. There's lots out there that suggests exactly what you're telling me. But surely he has a responsibility to come clean, and he's not. Also, I gather, involved in Councillor Patton's naturopathic business, and I'm not sure that's what I understand. I'm not sure in what way he's involved, but I believe he is. I think he has been involved in signing lease agreements and that kind of stuff, so... he's involved with her at three levels, it would appear. Certainly, as a part of the Surrey Coalition and its autocratic performance, quite likely or possibly his personal relationships with her, compromise through business relationships.
Late in 2021, Mayor Doug McCallum was charged criminally with public mischief for allegedly lying to police about being injured by the supporter of a campaign against McCallum's replacement of the RCMP.
Where do you think this is going to go? And do you think that this is going to open up comparisons to another a famous former mayor of Surrey, Ed McKitka, who also found himself in legal trouble?
McKitka was involved over land... inside deals and land development and that kind of thing. So he was in a breach of trust for that. But what McCallum is doing is lying to the RCMP. The charges that have been laid by the special prosecutor, Richard Fowler, they wouldn't be laid if there was no likelihood of successful prosecution. The RCMP filed complaints. He lied to them. The charges are public mischief, which are criminal code charges. They've got to be taken seriously. And if he's lying to the police, plays fast and loose with the truth on so many issues that there's a pattern of untruthfulness about him, and that's why I say he's unfit to hold the office that he does of mayor.
McCallum's Safe Surrey Coalition Party waited until the week before Christmas to release the 2022 Surrey Civic Budget. They claim a smaller tax increase than other cities, but they also gave the public very little time to study the documents.
They rammed this budget through so close to Christmas. It really wasn't a Christmas gift for democracy at all.
No, I think the public hearing was on the Wednesday, the 22nd, and the public and the final adoption, they adopted the budget at the same meeting, and then they gave final adoption, final reading to the budget bylaws on Christmas Eve. The public only saw the budget on the Friday and had had until Wednesday to digest what was in front of them. It's a something like a 1.3 or around $1.3 billion budget. There's all the question of the police budget and so many issues. And Surrey has never had a what I would call a very robust public engagement on budgets, but there's nothing, it's never been anything even close to what's going on here. Council has always respected the rights of the citizens, business groups, community groups to comment on the budget, and they've been given as much time as they needed. In this case, it was rammed through in a very obscene kind of way. No engagement. I contrast with what went on in Surrey before Christmas with what how Vancouver handles its budget and its public engagement. And they had Vancouver provided lots of time for the public to review and study the budget, and then they provided several days of hearings to receive respectfully the comments of the public, and they aren't going to adopt their budget until later this month. And that's actually what Burnaby and Richmond do. They engage the community. Burnaby has given people a lot of support to study, understand the budget, public meetings, all of that. And finally, give themselves time to reflect on the submissions and adjust the budgets accordingly. If there's reason to adjust it, they will. Their budgets, based on the public engagement, they certainly will. So, you know, the Surrey has done a terrible job in the past, but it's infinitely worse under McCallum's current leadership.
Do you think that there is anyone else, any other contestants out there waiting to throw their hat in, or will this be Brenda Locke versus Doug McCallum? And what should the citizens be watching out for and asking in the next 9 to 10 months?
Brenda Locke, I have a lot of opportunity to discuss matters with Brenda, and I've come to see her as a very good person. She's very intelligent. She knows she's capable of dealing with a massive amount of material. I'm very impressed with her, and I'd be very confident in her leadership if she were to be elected mayor. We don't want a repeat of 2018, where the vote was seriously split, and that's the nature of first past the post electoral processes, but it's not good. And there may be other people put their names forward. In the end, we want the best possible person to fill the mayor's role to be elected.
That was former Surrey Mayor Bob Bowes setting the scene for the 2022 election year in BC's second biggest city. Will Surrey Mayor Doug McCallum get another term in office? Or a term in jail? What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news.
Now it's time on the Breaker.news podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim.
In Hong Kong, Free Press, quarantine for 170 guests at Chinese official's birthday party, including 13 senior Hong Kong officials and 19 lawmakers. They attended Monday's birthday party at a Spanish restaurant for Whitman Hung. Hong Kong's delegate to the National People's Congress. Among them are top security officials including Police Chief Raymond Su, Immigration Chief Oh Ka Wang, and Anti-Corruption Watchdog Chief Simon Pei. Chief Executive Carrie Lam said on Thursday that she was, quote, very disappointed. In ABC News Australia, Australian Border Force cancels tennis player Renata Voracova's visa ahead of Australian Open. Voracova already played in a warm-up tournament in Melbourne and was detained in the same immigration hotel as Serbian star Novak Djokovic. Voracova is believed to have entered Australia last month with a vaccine exemption granted by Tennis Australia because she had recently contracted and recovered from COVID-19. In Mainichi News, Japanese billionaire Maezawa to explore Mariana Trench. Yusaku Maezawa, the billionaire entrepreneur who last month became the first Japanese civilian to travel to the International Space Station, said he now plans a trip to the Mariana Trench, the deepest location on planet Earth. The founder of major online fashion retailer Zozo Inc. plans to orbit the moon with U.S. firm SpaceX's Big Falcon rocket in 2023, in the first such trip organized by a private company. He said after his return from the space station that he also hopes to visit the moon.
That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In the Oregonian, Oregon man who defrauded COVID relief programs used sheer dumb luck to net $13 million in Tesla stock. Andrew Aaron Lloyd created several hundred employees out of thin air and then obtained $3.4 million in COVID-19 relief funds. Lloyd has been sent to jail for 4 years. He invested his ill-gotten gains and won big, eventually purchasing more than 15,000 shares of Tesla stock and 25 rental properties in Oregon and California valued at a combined $18 million. The 51-year-old must pay $4 million in restitution, give up the real estate assets, and forfeit his stock in the electric car manufacturer. In King 5, Seattle, a dozen Washingtonians facing charges related to the January 6th Capitol riot. They include Ethan Nordine of Auburn, Washington, who was arrested on February 2nd, 2021. Federal documents allege Nordine, also known as Rufio Panman, was in charge of the Proud Boys who stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, 2021. Nordine is the so-called Sergeant of Arms of the Seattle chapter of the Proud Boys. He is currently in federal custody pending trial on a laundry list of charges. In the Times columnist, Jean-Jacques André was architect of Old Town, Natural History, First Peoples exhibits at Royal BC Museum. André died December 22nd, 2 months shy of his 90th birthday. Born in Algeria and raised in France, André lived and worked in Victoria for more than 6 decades. His designs made the Royal BC Museum one of Canada's most popular museums where visitors could pan for gold, board an 18th century ship, and walk woodblock streets, all tweaked with sound effects and subtle smells. Bianca Massage, André's daughter, said her father was aware the museum was closing the Becoming BC and First Peoples exhibits on December 31st, dismantling them in a move it calls decolonizing, and starting consultations with underrepresented voices and First Nations from around the province. Quote, he said, I understand exhibits have to grow and change, but before doing anything, where's the new storyline, where's the plans, and where's the scale models? Before you do anything, show us.
The biggest sports superstar in Cascadia, Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, is coming to Vancouver on April 26th. Get in the huddle at the Independent Contractors and Businesses Association annual banquet. For information and tickets, go to icba.ca or call toll-free 1-800-663-2865. And it don't matter what color you are, 'cause love will conquer hate, so you won't stand alone, you won't stand
alone. The virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. a virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to
Crime Stoppers, the volunteer-driven tip line for crime whistleblowers. It's Crime Stoppers Month in BC, where human trafficking, physical violence, property theft, organized crime, drug crime, money laundering, and fraud are all threats to our communities.
You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca.
Vaccine, because once you're dead, then that's a bit too late. I know I'm trying to be funny now, but I'm dead serious about the vaccine. I think we all want to get back to normal, whatever that is, and that would be a great shot in the arm, wouldn't it?
That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of January 9th, 2022. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on January 9th in 2007, Apple CEO Steve Jobs introduced the original iPhone during a speech at the Macworld conference in San Francisco? Now you know.
Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit TheBreaker.News on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N.com/TheBreakerNews. Until next week.